1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Now concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the darkness. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort the weak. Be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. This is where our text starts. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, last month we were celebrating together Canadian Thanksgiving. And it may be well be that this was one of the strangest Canadian Thanksgivings that we have had in this generation. In our area, at least, for many of us, our family get-togethers, the extended family get-togethers that we had planned, needed to be reduced and modified. Because of the restriction of only 10 people, many of us had smaller groups, and our Thanksgiving was decidedly different. With COVID spiking again, brothers and sisters, I think all of us are getting a little tired of the reality that we're living in. And I don't know where this is going to end, and it's certainly looking like there are some uncertain days ahead for us all. Yet as we gather together as a church, God calls us to be thankful. Our passage in 1 Thessalonians says that in all circumstances give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now that doesn't mean, brothers and sisters, that we are to paint a smile on our faces and just pretend that everything's okay. It doesn't mean that we're to deny the reality that we're living in and hope that things get better. Sometimes our young people use the phrase, fake it till you make it. Well, that's not what this means. Just pretend it's going to go away and pretend everything's okay. But what it does mean is that no matter the circumstance, whether in times of difficulty or in blessing, God calls us to a life of heartfelt gratitude. And if you remember the context of this book, the church in Thessalonica, they were going through some deep waters. The Apostle Paul warned them ahead of time of these tough times that were coming. And at the time that Paul wrote to the church, they were facing internal problems within the church, and they were facing external attacks by those opposed to the gospel. So these Christians knew what it meant to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. It was part of their everyday life. Yet even though this was the case, throughout this section in this series of commands at the end of the book, Paul has been encouraging the church to remain faithful, hasn't he? As we saw this morning, the church was encouraged to continue strong, to continue in faith, in love, and in hope. In this passage specifically in chapter 5, Paul had just been speaking about the day of the Lord, how Christ was coming again, and how we need to be ready as a church for Christ's second return. This was a reality. They knew that Christ could come at any time, and Paul was saying to the church, look it, be ready. He's going to come like a thief in the night. And it's in this context, brothers and sisters, that we have these three verses, this threefold command to always be joyful, to pray without ceasing, and in all circumstances, give thanks. In the Christian life, we can say these are the three things that we should always be doing. But if we're honest, this may seem like a very tall order. Humanly speaking, we can say, brothers and sisters, that this is impossible, isn't it? Even when things are going very well in our lives, even when we feel very blessed, oftentimes we have this tendency, don't we, that we forget what we have received from the Lord. This sin of an ungrateful heart is something that is so common for each one of us. But especially when times are tough, when our faith is stretched, when we're forced to walk by faith and not by sight, oftentimes the sin of ingratitude finds very fertile ground. And this afternoon, as we consider these three verses together, we're going to see this. What does Christian thankfulness look like, and how do prayer and joy form an essential part of our thanks to God? And our theme this afternoon is give thanks to God no matter the circumstance. Thankfulness, brothers and sisters, is not a character trait that is unique only to Christians, is it? If you were able to be a fly on the wall during Thanksgiving celebration in non-Christian homes or those that don't know the Lord, you would hear an expression of some kind of thanks. Even those who might deny that there's a God, even those who consider themselves atheists. And maybe it would be expressed in this way, that they're thankful for the good fortune of having a job, that they're thankful for their family and friends, they're thankful for good health. This thankfulness isn't expressed to anyone in particular. It's just a feeling of well-being that they have. For many, when life gets difficult, that sense of well-being might be replaced with a bitterness or despair. But brothers and sisters, there certainly is an element of thankfulness in many people. But we know from Romans 1, it says this of the unbeliever, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. And here the Apostle Paul is explaining that even though they had an innate knowledge of God in their hearts, they rejected it. They reject it. They don't have a relationship with the Lord, and they therefore don't know who they are to give thanks to. Without God, when times get tough, you're on your own, aren't you? It's up to you to make it. Now, for the Christian, thankfulness is very different, isn't it? We give thanks not to an unknown entity, but we give thanks to a God who has revealed himself to us, to an all-knowing and all-seeing, a sovereign and eternal God, one who has reached out with his love and grace. James 1 verse 17 says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. This is our understanding as believers, isn't it? We understand that it's a good Father that we serve. We know him. We love him. It's not that we serve a God that knows nothing about us. We know that he is a good and gracious Father who takes care of us, his children. In our passage, verse 18 says, "In all circumstances give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus." And those last three words are very important, aren't they? Our thankfulness is grounded in that very fundamental truth. That because of Jesus Christ and his work on the cross, because of what he has done for us, brothers and sisters, he's redeemed us out of sin and death. He's redeemed us out of darkness and despair. He is the one that has paid the price for our sins and given us a new life in him. And this is what we see in passage after passage in the New Testament, isn't it? This idea of thankfulness, this outpouring of our love towards Christ for what he has done for us. And that's to be a heartfelt thing. Colossians 2 verse 6 says, "As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." Colossians 3 verse 15 through 17, beautiful words. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So, brothers and sisters, we need to understand that true thankfulness to the Lord is impossible without a right relationship with him. It's not a feeling that we can come up with on our own. If it is, it's only going to be temporary. But it's only when we know that we belong to him, that our sins have been forgiven, that we can have a close relationship with the Lord. And here the Apostle Paul in Colossians 3 uses this idea of being grounded and rooted in the Lord. Now, for those of you who have ever planted a tree, you know how important that root ball is. Just a few weeks ago, I was planting some small pine trees. But if you want that pine tree to be able to grow, for it to be able to survive, especially through the winter, you need to guard that root ball well, don't you? Why? Because those roots will soon begin to grow. In the spring, they will begin to grow, and they will begin to dig deep. If they're good and strong, they're going to dig deep into the soil, and that tree will become established. They need that good root system. And here the Apostle Paul is saying, look, we are like planted trees that need a good root system, that in that root system is grounded in Jesus Christ. Our lives are built on him. And brothers and sisters, what a beautiful illustration that is. Because when times get tough, when we go through difficulties and trials in our life, we know that our root system is not in ourselves, is it? It's in Jesus Christ. And when those trials come, we know that the wind is going to blow like the wind is blowing today, but we won't be blown over. We won't be knocked down. In Christ, we are strong. And this is why the Apostle Paul here in our passage mentions unceasing prayer, isn't it? What does it mean to pray unceasingly? Well, what Paul here is describing is a connectedness that we need to have with God. In order for our relationship with the Lord to be strong, we need to have a constant communication with Him. Now, children, if I were to ask you this afternoon, what is prayer? You might be able to tell me, well, prayer simply is talking with God. We can express to Him what's in our hearts. We can express to Him our needs. We can give thanks to Him when we have blessing in our life. I pray that you do that before you go to bed at night or when you get up in the morning. But this unceasing prayer, brothers and sisters, is something that needs to be taking place all of the time in our life. For many of us here this afternoon, no doubt we read the Bible after we eat together, perhaps in the morning and evening. We have a time of short prayer. That's excellent, to have those regular times of prayer. But we need to remember that prayer is our connection to God, and this is something that shouldn't just take place in planned times. Again, very good and proper and necessary for us. But this is something that is to be taking place all of the time. We need to learn to bow our heads when we have been blessed with one in a particular area in our life. We need to just take a moment and learn to give thanks to the Lord. When we have a special trial or something that comes into our life, we need to maybe just excuse ourselves from a situation and just learn to say to the Lord, Lord, I need your help. When a temptation comes along, young people, and you feel overwhelmed by that temptation, you need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, help me in this situation. This is beyond me. I can't do it on my own. But this is something we need to grow in, brothers and sisters. I was speaking last week with Mark Van Esseldelf. Maybe you don't know the name, but he's a URC diaconal missionary with the OPC in Uganda. I mentioned him in our prayer. He was saying to me that he was learning about this himself, but he was in a get-together, a reunion with a number of men and women there, and right now in Uganda, it's a tough time. There have been a lot of rains, a lot of the crops have been wiped out. And he said he was in a time of prayer, and he asked the people that were gathered there, he said, is there any prayer requests? Is there any particular needs? He knew that there were needs. And one lady put up her hand, and she said, Mark, can I give thanks to the Lord for something? I just want to give thanks to the Lord that we had enough food to eat today. Mark said to me, he said, you know what, I learned something then. I knew who this woman was. This was a woman who was a single mom with five kids who had just adopted another four or five children into her family, children that were abandoned. They had absolutely nothing. And brothers and sisters, this is the kind of prayer life that we need to develop. I love the story of George Mueller. Perhaps you know the name, perhaps you've read about him. A man who lived in the 1800s, who ministered to over 10,000 orphans. But this was a man who believed in the power of prayer, that when we call out to God, that God will respond. You've got to read what happened in his life. Time after time after time, many amazing stories. And George Mueller said this, the Lord not only gives us as much as is absolutely necessary for his work, but he gives abundantly. This blessing filled me with inexplicable delight. He has given me the full answer to my thousands of prayers. Brothers and sisters, we need to remember that as a church, without prayer, we are weak. That we are cut off from God. And even though God knows exactly what we need, even more than what we know ourselves, He wants to hear our prayers and our cries to Him. He wants to know and see that we truly rely on him. And as Reformed Christians, brothers and sisters, I think this is an area where we can look at ourselves and say that, yes, we need to grow. Sometimes we like to get together for meetings, and we have long meetings, and we have great Bible studies. But oftentimes we don't take enough time for prayer. And this is something that is so necessary, especially during times of difficulty, during times of persecution. And again, this was what was happening in the church in Thessalonica. Paul had warned them about it. He had said these times were coming, and they were in the midst of it right now, right at this moment. And brothers and sisters, again, this is something that the Christian needs to expect, every one of us in our life. To live in peace and security is not the norm for Christians. And even though difficulties and trials are something that we don't like naturally, it's the best thing for us, we can say. It's necessary for our faith to be tried. And you may ask the question, well, why is that? And the answer is this: it's because we are forced to truly walk by faith. Now, in our own minds, so often we want to have our lives in control, don't we? We want to know where our next meal is coming from. We want to know the house that we're going to live in. And not only do we want to know that, we want to know how it's going to be paid off. We want to have strong, healthy bodies. We want to have all our ducks in a row. But brothers and sisters, when the storms of life come to you and come to me, what happens? When they begin to pound on your door and they begin to shake your foundation, on whom is your foundation built? When your props in life get taken away, that is when you see where your trust is. Can you still give thanks to the Lord then? Can you receive that plight of difficulty and suffering that God has served you and still say thank you to him? Will you trust the Lord in those times, knowing that he is working all things to your good? Remember, that comes from the vantage point that God has. I want to read with you an interesting small section of scripture in Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, if you want to turn with me there. Verses 16 through 19. Jesus is talking about signs of the times and what's going to come in the end times. But it says in verse 16 this: you will be betrayed by parents and brothers, relatives and friends. They will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience possess your souls. Brothers and sisters, that's such an interesting section of scripture, because here Paul is saying, not a hair is going to fall from your head, yet you might just lose your life. This last verse, verse 19, can be translated, in patient suffering, you will possess your souls. That is to say, God might use whatever it takes to refine you, to try you, even to save your soul. And brothers and sisters, what a thought that is for us. That God will use even the most difficult things. And here you see this list. The church will go through these things. But God will keep us. God will protect us. God will be by our sides. And what a wonderful truth that is. One author put it this way. He says, if you don't suffer trials and let it drive you to Christ, you will never be able to handle trouble. The ironic thing is that if God were able to keep you completely safe from trouble, you would be shallow, you would be breakable, you would be entitled. Anyone that I have ever met that has had a relatively charmed life, and you can get into your 40s or even 50s without anything massively bad happening to you, everyone I know that has lived that charmed life is very thin, as deep as the Jordan River, but only ankle deep. And brothers and sisters, when I read that quote, I thought to myself, that's a description of me. I've lived my life in many ways, lived a very charmed life, a protected life, a blessed life. And I think for most of us here this afternoon, we can say that. And this is why even now, brothers and sisters, as we begin to see things in our world around us change and we begin to realize that things are not always going to be as we've had them in the past, we need to learn to continue to give thanks to the Lord. And that's why the Apostle Paul says to the church, give thanks in all circumstances, because it's God's will for you. So when we go through those hard things, we know that God has a purpose for them. It causes our faith to grow, doesn't it? Maybe you've heard it said before that that faith is like a muscle. Unless you use your faith, it grows weak. And that's true, isn't it? And we have to be willing to say to the Lord, to come to the point where we say to the Lord, Lord, you know what you are doing in my life. I'm going to thank you for those things that you are doing in my life, even for the things that I don't understand. I'm going to trust in you to take care of the details in my life and let you work. Remember Pastor Yuan, who I mentioned this morning, 22 years in prison, yet excited about what God was doing in his life. Rejoicing in all that God had done and would do in the church. And this is what living a thankful life, a prayer-filled life produces, isn't it? It produces a joy, a true lasting joy when we have this kind of communication with God, this kind of trust in him. And it's not to say that this joy won't be with tears, that this joy won't be with worries or concerns in our life. There will be. It doesn't mean that it's going to be all smooth sailing, but God will bring you through those times more mature. And maybe you've had opportunity to sit down with mature saints and talk to them about their life. That's a great thing to do. You know, there's nothing better than hearing stories of how God has worked in those in our own churches, those who have walked with the Lord year after year after year. Remember in our young people's group, we used to have coffee house every Sunday night, and we used to go to everyone's house in the church. We oftentimes would ask the older folks to give their testimony, to explain how God had worked. It was amazing to hear their stories. Just recently, one of the members in our congregation in Redeeming Grace just passed away in his 80s, but this man had a tremendous testimony. And he pointed out how God worked year after year after year through many difficulties, through many trials. Romans 12 says that we are to rejoice in hope. We are to be patient in tribulation. We are to be constant in prayer. 1 Peter 1 verse 8 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. And as we close this afternoon, let me ask you very simply, is this the description of your life? Is this the kind of thankfulness that you see? One author says it this way. He says, don't evaluate your sanctification on the fact that you haven't committed robbery or haven't lied or haven't cheated or haven't abused someone. Don't evaluate your spiritual condition on that. When I want to take my spiritual temperature, what I'm looking for are these three things. Is my heart full of joy? Am I eager in communing with the Lord? Quietly and silently thanking Him for all that He has done in my life. Lifting up all the petitions that come across my mind to Him. Is it an unending sweet communion with Him? Am I incessantly, unendingly grateful? This is the heart of a believer. And brothers and sisters, maybe this afternoon, as we say these things and have seen this passage, you really don't feel very thankful at all. Maybe you feel like you're at the end of your rope. Maybe you feel that you don't have a lot of joy in your life right now. Maybe you feel like that connectedness with God is not there. And maybe it is that there's a person here this afternoon that doesn't know Christ. Maybe you're visiting, or maybe you've been in church for many years, and you're ready just to throw in the towel. You're going to give up on church. You're going to give up on coming to know the Lord. Let me say to you this afternoon, express your frustration to Him. Express those doubts to Him. Express to Him even that negativity, the things that you don't understand and the things that are a problem in your life. Today is the day of salvation. Maybe you are a Christian this afternoon, and maybe you feel the same way. But be honest with the Lord. As we read through the Psalms, brothers and sisters, we see time after time how the psalmist expresses all of those deep, dark feelings to the Lord. He cries out to the Lord again and again. Run to Jesus Christ. Go to Him in your time of need. Maybe reach out to someone around you who can help you. Maybe a friend, maybe a pastor, maybe an elder in the church. But again, today is the day of salvation. Don't walk away. Don't give up on your faith. Entrust your life to Jesus Christ, to the God who knows. He understands. And we serve a Savior that has lived the life that we live here on this earth. He has been through all that we go through, all of the difficulties, all of the trials, all of the hard things. Brothers and sisters, we know that He understands, that we can go to Him. What a wonderful thing that is. We began our service with Psalm 27. And I just love how it says there, at the end, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And brothers and sisters, I want to close this afternoon our service with the hymns, the words of a hymn that we're about, Lord, that we know and we sing often. Now thank we all our God. And it says this, O may this bounteous God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, to keep us in His grace and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next. Let's close in prayer. Gracious God, we thank You, we praise You for these words of encouragement. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that even in the most difficult of trials, Father, we are called to be thankful, and by your grace, we can be thankful. And Lord, we know right now many are suffering and going through deep waters. And Lord, we pray that even though that might be true in our own lives, and even though we might be going through things right now, Lord, we pray that we would cry out to you, the God who knows us, the God who understands us, and a God who hears us. Lord, be near to us, we pray, encourage us. And Lord, we pray that even as others look at us as the church, Lord, they would see in us this spirit of thankfulness, that we truly would live in this way, that we truly, Lord, it wouldn't be just lip service, but this truly would be the expression of our heart. May this be true of each one of us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.